Good evening, young disciples.
Good evening, sir.
You have no idea how excited I am right now. I am so excited right now because I was up there flipping through my Bible because I was up there flipping through my Bible and I found a piece of paper that contains, I believe, the most exciting thing I have ever found in Scripture. And would you believe it? I had totally forgotten to plan on telling you. But I just found the piece of paper in my Bible, and I was reminded of this good news. I'm so excited, though, that if I tried to tell you it tonight, it would probably all come out as mumbling. So I will tell you either tomorrow or the next day. But in the meantime, I am just antsy waiting because I have very good news for you. Now then, if yesterday, how many of you, just by a show of hands, how many of you, how do I want to ask this? How many of you learned something about the Lord of Glory yesterday that you didn't know before? Beautiful. Yesterday, if yesterday was good news, a 5 out of 10, today is at least a 7 or an 8. It gets way better. In fact, every day this week, I believe, is going to get better and better. Because yesterday, I only told you a sliver, one little piece. It is a piece, true, that is often forgotten. And a piece that, if we understand, makes everything else in the world make sense. But it was just one piece. Today, we're going to build on that foundation, and I am excited. But before we do that, as Mrs. Everett so eloquently said, if anything goes right about anything that I tell you tonight, you can be sure it is the mercy and grace of God. Because when I open my mouth by myself, I mumble and bumble and stutter, and I cannot make myself understood. This book has life between its pages. There is no way for a human to be able to translate life through our tongues without the help of a very strong helper. I believe I have that helper. I certainly have prayed for it. So tonight I'm going to make the same three requests that I made yesterday. Do you remember what they were? Listen, think, and pray. Listen, because you can sit here and hear, but the truth, if you don't listen, the truth can go in one ear and out the other, and you leave just the same as when you came, which would be fine, except that you have a chance to leave rich tonight. And what a tragedy it would be if you left poor when you could have left rich, right? Listen, think, because you have a bright mind. Your mind has been given you by Holy God. It has been given to you. There has been given to you the potential to reason through spiritual themes which angels wonder at. That in itself is a miracle. But you have to exercise yourself in order to get that done. Now then, the third one, pray. I told you yesterday that I wanted you to pray when you went back to your tent, and that is true. But I want to make an additional deal with you tonight, if you're ready to make a deal. While I'm standing here doing my little job for the next 20 minutes or so, I want you to stand watch and pray for me. My thought is that if even a few of you remember to pray for me, the truth will be that much clearer, and I need prayers. So here's the deal. While I'm down here, you stand watch, you pray for me, you listen, and you think, and when you go to bed, I will stand watch. And I will pray for you while you fall asleep. Deal? Deal. Let's do it. Yesterday, we learned that there are certain realities of life that are the result of changeable factors. Take this rock, put it in the fire, rock gets hot, take it out of the fire, rock gets cold. Put it in the lake or the creek, rock gets wet, take it out. Rock gets dry. And we learned that there are other realities that are as constant and unchanging as gravity. Wet rock, hot rock, cold rock, smashed up rock, thrown in the air rock, they all go down. They all go down. Gravity remains unchanging. There exist, there are realities in our spiritual life that cannot be changed by any action. They exist. They existed long before we had any choice in the matter, and they will always be. Always. It is on these unconditional principles that we build our lives, that we ground our confidence. The truth that we discovered yesterday is that we unconditionally, do you remember the word? Unconditionally belong. We unconditionally belong. Why? Because we are children of God, and you can't unbecome a child. If you've been born, you're either a son or a daughter, and nothing in the world can change that, even if you do try, spend your whole life chasing another master. Once a father, always a father. Once a son, always a son. Once a daughter, always a daughter. It's not as if obedience has suddenly become obsolete. Obedience is not obsolete. In fact, God has a deep desire to help you to deal with your sin. God wants you to heal from your past. God wants to empower victorious living. God wants you to reach your full potential. There is no doubt. But none of those things have anything to do with your worth. If you never reach your full potential, you will not be any less beloved of God. Your worth in the eyes of holy God is not based on your performance. It is not based on your past. It is not based on your potential. It is based on your birth. If you are born, you are precious. That is what we learned last night. Unconditional, what's the word? Unconditional belonging. We unconditionally belong to God. Second, unconditional, incontrovertible, that means it can't be argued with, fact, is to me even more beautiful than the first. Listen, think, pray for me, then I'll pray for you. Here we go. Now then, yesterday I told you that since we belong, since we are sons of God, daughters of God, that means we always, like the prodigal son, have a home to go back to, right? Remember that? Now then, some of you, I imagine, for some of you, that may bring up more or less pleasant memories or thoughts than others. Because in a group this size, I know with absolute certainty, even though it breaks my heart, that not all of you have that kind of home to go to. Not all of you have a home where you feel completely and perfectly safe, where you've always felt completely and unconditionally loved. But I have a question tonight. If there were such a home, wouldn't you want it? Here's the good news for tonight. Not only do we have a home to go back to because we belong, that home is a safe one. It's a safe home where holy God stands always ready to defend your soul from the destroyer. He stands always ready to hold you after you fall. He stands always ready to stop and help you heal. It is not just a safe place. It is a gloriously free place because everyone there has learned not just to hide from darkness, but to actually live full, free, and overflowing in the light. And it is a place full of joy. Why? Why full of joy? Because love is there. It is a place where we can be at peace under the most stressful, trying, sorrowful, and confusing circumstances because of who lives there. Now then, I heard a story once. It happened in a little country church a long time ago. The pastor had just stood up, and he was about to start his sermon. But when he stood up and went to the desk, he said something that was a little bit out of the ordinary. It was quite unexpected for the people sitting in his church. He said, "We have a guest today in our midst, And he is going to share something with you. He's going to tell you a story. So the pastor of the church, he sat down, and another man stood up and went to the front, and this is the story he told. Once upon a time, there was a man. And that man had a son whom he dearly loved. This man, in fact, treasured two things above all other things on planet Earth: his son and the sea. And this son, as he began to grow up and he did more and more things with his father, he increasingly came to love two things more than anything else: the sea, and what do you guess? And his father. Well, on one particular sunny and bright day, father and son decided today would be a great day to go out on the bay. And so they set out in their little boat. They took the son's best friend with them, and they had an absolutely marvelous time. All through the beautiful afternoon, they bobbed up and down in the waves, doing what people do in boats, whatever that is. And then finally, by and by, it was time to head for home. So they turned the boat around, but they had not quite got back to the opening of the bay when the wind started to pick up. And in fact, they had not gotten anywhere near shore when the storm broke in all its fury, and the swells got higher, and the wind got stronger, until finally, suddenly, one of the swells broke over this little boat, and it capsized in the middle of a raging ocean. Now, the father was the first to bob back to the surface, sputtering and spitting out seawater, and he saw the little boat overturned, turning over in the waves a little ways off, and with powerful strokes, he was finally able to reach that boat and start searching for the rope. But alas, in one terrible moment, even as he coiled the rope in his hands, he saw his son, and he saw his son's friend. And he saw that the current was too strong for him to have time to save both. So he would have to make a choice. It could be the son, after all. I mean, wouldn't every father pick the son? But this father knew something about his boy. His boy was a lover of Jesus. He was a follower of the cross. And the father knew that his boy was ready, if need be, to die. But the boy's friend, he didn't know Jesus, had never heard of the cross. And so in one terrible moment, even as he coiled the rope around his hands to throw, he screamed over the tempestuous wind, over the boisterous waves, "I love you, my boy, I love you." And he threw the rope the other way. And as hard and as fast as those fatherly arms could pull, he hauled the best friend in. And then his eyes searched the boisterous waves, looking, hoping, maybe. But his son was gone. It was silent in the little church, quite as silent as it was just now. And the man telling the story bowed his head. And finally, the pastor got back up and stood beside him. And he said, "It's true. Every word of it is true. This was that man. And your pastor was his son's best friend." Once upon a time, there was another father who watched with a breaking heart while the current suddenly ripped away his treasure. And he was left in exactly the same terrible position. He was left with the same agonizing choice to save his son or to save his son's best friend. His son's best friend, who in fact was the world's most recently sworn rebel against the cross. Do you know that he did not even stop really to consider his options? Do you know that he never seriously stopped to think, should it be mine or should it be him? Why? Because they'd already talked about it. They had already made an agreement. Father and son, in ages past, their eyes had locked, and then they had shook hands. The son would die, and he would throw the rope to the rebel. He would throw the rope to the one flailing in the water. And that one flailing in the water, his name was Sean. Her name was Ellie. Joshua. Gracie. I don't think he screamed. I don't think he screamed, but I'm pretty sure he cried. I know the angels cried. I love you, my boy. I love you. And then he turned his back away. Really, you guys? He turned his back on his boy. And he threw you the rope. No wonder Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Here's the good news for tonight. Not only do you have a home to go back to, that home is a safe one because of who lives there. But do you know what I think is one of the worst tragedies in the world? It is that sometimes, in fact, far too often, we refuse to take the rope after it has been thrown. After the son has already been sacrificed, we refuse to take the rope. He already, by his choice, he's sacrificed his chance at life, and then you and I refuse ours. That I consider to be a tragedy. Possibly the greatest tragedy that has ever existed in all of the universe. And sometimes we do it. Sometimes humans do it because they spurn the offer. Like, we don't care, really. Like, we don't know this God. He's a stranger. And so he may have died and he may have sacrificed a great thing, but it's whatever, you know, whatever. But you and I, far more often, we fail to take the rope. You know why? Because we're there floundering in the water, and when we see the rope land nearby, we say, no, 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 no. No, you don't understand. I am a sinner. I am filthy dirty. He can't love me. He couldn't love me. There's no way. I am too messed up. I have too much of a history. I have made too many mistakes. There's no way it can't be true. And therefore, keep our hands to ourselves. You guys, listen to me. He spared not his own son, and he threw you the rope. He doesn't want me, we say. So we flail in the water after the sacrifice has already been made. We slip beneath the waves because we refused our chance. Listen, you and I are the children of God. And together we make up the church of God. That church in the book of Revelation is called the Bride of Christ. What a tragedy it would be if a bride, the night before her wedding, was found flirting with some other guy no less, her groom's, her future husband's worst enemy. This is high treason. And the Bride of Christ does it all the time. But do you know what I think is even worse? Because Christ, even though his bride is engaged in this kind of foolishness all the time, that would be you and I, are engaged in this kind of foolishness all the time. In the morning, the Bride of Christ, in the morning, Christ reaches out his hand and he says, come still, come, I love you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. With loving kindness have I drawn thee. And we say, no, he couldn't love me. I've been too stupid. I've been too foolish. I have been too vain. I have lived my own life. I've made too many mistakes. I'm filthy dirty. You don't understand. You cannot love me. Listen to me. Let God decide who he can love. You and I have no control over that. And what we do know from Scripture is he has already said, I love you. Let him love you. Let him love you. To deprive Christ of his bride just because I'm filthy dirty, that's twice a crime. If it doesn't make any sense to you, it's okay. It makes sense to him, and that is what matters. Take the rope that has been thrown you. Take it every time you fall out of the boat. Don't wait. Don't lurk in the shadows. God, the God that we serve, clarification number 67. The God that we serve does not charge penance. Every other false religious system in the world has a system of penance in place. You do this, you have to pay for it. Crawl up those stairs on your knees, or come give sacrifices every third day, and they better be rice, and it better be this, and it better be that, and if you don't, the gods will be mad. Every religious system except ours. Why? Because penance is a mark of a false religious system. Our God doesn't do any such thing. He doesn't say, you were naughty, wait 30 minutes before you come back. No, if you have fallen out of the boat, swallow your pride, or better yet, give it up, and grab that rope. Remember the boy from yesterday? It is our sin that convinces us he wouldn't want me. The boy's like, oh, I sinned too greatly. I can't be his son. I'll be his servant. And the father's like, you're crazy. That's crazy. You're my son. I love you. You're back, and we're not going to sorrow. We are going to party. You're crazy. That's crazy. You're my son. Romans 5, verse 8. Do you have your Bible? Romans 5, verse 8. Do you have your Bible? You tell me what it says. Are you there? All right. So my Bible says God commended his what? His love toward us in that while we were yet what? While we were yet what? While we were still sinners, Christ did what? Died. Not after we became unsinners. Not after we were like, oh, I finally learned to swim. Now I don't need that rope anymore. Hey. Let me get back in that boat. No. While I was a sinner, he died. He said, son, your friend is out of the boat. It's time to go. And he threw you the rope. Now then, flip a few more pages back towards the back of your Bible, almost to the book of Revelation. 1 John 3. I misspoke. 1 John 4. Almost to the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 4. Really, really tiny little books, incidentally, by my favorite biblical author. 1 John 4 and verse 9 says something very similar to Romans 5, verse 8. And I read, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. In this what? The sacrifice. Was manifested the love of God toward us that because that God sent his what? His only begotten Son into the world that we might do what? Live through him. And then we'll look at what verse 10 says. Herein is love, not that what? Not that we loved God, but that what? He loved us while we were yet sinners. And he sent his Son to be propitiation for us. That means to be in replacement of. He sent his Son to appease the needs of the justice of the law. I want you to notice something about these three verses we've just read. In each one, the love of God is exercised without regard to the position of the object. That's heady and high-minded speech. What am I talking about? The love of God, in no case was it earned by hard work, or by good behavior, or by punishing penance, or by any other means. It is free, and it is without condition. Why? Why? The Bible says. Skip back two verses. Verse right before. Verse 8, 1 John 4, verse 8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for what? God is love. I don't think you understood that. God is love. God is not loving. He's that too. God is love. It is the essence of who he is. And my Bible says God does not change. That makes the love of God what? Unconditional. Like the prodigal of old, my friends, we have a home to go back to. And it is not just any old home. It is a safe one because love lives there. Your mind is probably spinning. Mine spins every time I think about this. We unconditionally, what was the word? We unconditionally belong to none other than the person, unconditional love. Your mind is spinning. My mind is spinning. Remember, I mean like, okay, like this is too simple, right? Like, there has to be more, right? I mean, how can it be that simple and when we make it so complicated? Right? Wrong. Maybe. Remember, love has to, is love not enough? Love has two sides, remember. Love has a side that's all touchy and feely and very cuddly. And then love has a side that's a fire. Because love couldn't be love. Follow me here. Love couldn't be love unless it hated what destroys you. A love that isn't strong enough to consume anything in its past is really a phony. It's a fake. It's not real love, and it can't transform anything. So yeah, there's more, and we will get to more. But that more is not, that more does not negate this moment. For now, stick with me here. We unconditionally, what was the word? The first one, yesterday? We unconditionally belong to what? To who? Unconditional love. I want you to go back to your tent tonight. Think. Pray. And if you dare, believe it. Let's pray. It just keeps getting better, Father. It keeps getting better. I want to beg that tonight this truth would be settled in our souls. Not only are we kept, not only are we owned, not only are we held, but we are held by none other than unconditional love that threw out the rope to us instead of the Son. For my part, I'm taking that rope tonight, once again. And I pray my friends will do the same. Bless us with bravery. Bless us with confidence. Bless us with earnestness. And bless us with the sweet peace of your fellowship, even as we stretch out a trembling hand to take a God we barely knew existed in this form and make us like your Son. It's my prayer in Jesus' name.